So, based on everything we learned last couple of weeks, I want to learn two tshuvas from Rav Moshe. Both of them were very timely in the times that he was writing them, and not so much, you know, things different, but not so different in some cases. So, and I think if we learn the tshuvas, we'll see some of the sages that we learned. So the first tshuva was Simon. Archaim's Chelik Beis, Simon Lamed. It's Be'inyin Beis HaKnesses Shenik Basham Gam Lasois Parties Im Rikud Isser. So they had mixed dancing, and it was Nikba for that, meaning it was a hall, it was rented out as a social hall for mixed dancing parties. That's what it was. He has very strong language here, and he says, B'davar Beis HaKnesses Shemishtam Shemboi Gam Lasois Parties Im Rikudim Ta'aruvis Anashim Anashim Mixed Dancing. So he says, I already wrote somewhere else that you're not allowed to daven there because it's made for pritzus and hallelus. So therefore, if it was made b'nikba mitchila k'shebanu shiyasu sham parties ka'ilu, if the intention when it was built was to do those parties, mistaber shem b'kedushas beis hakneses, it doesn't have a din of a shul. We learned last week you can make a tanai. So we learned last week you cannot make a tanai for kalus rosh and for iser. You can't make a tanai to do something aser. So if you're making such a tanai, obviously what you mean to be saying is that it's not a shul. So you're even though we hold that maybe you could make a tanai in certain cases to do certain things, but you can't make a tanai to do iser. So if your tanai is to do iser, then obviously what you're doing is you're saying it's not a shul at all. And then he says, memela, it's garua mistam bayis, shav she'im b'kedushas beis hakneses mutal lispal. So now it's not a shul. So should you daven there? No, it's worse than a house. A regular house, you could daven. Here, this is kavua for iser. You shouldn't even daven there. Ein bo yishum mailos tfilos b'tzibur kim tshumakum sa'ani. It's a major chiddush. Since it doesn't have a din of tefillah b'tzibur.
In the shul or in the social? Doesn't matter.
In the shul. Well, for the social shul is worse. The same thing.
But it's not a shul.
He said the shul is also not a shul.
So it's a one-room place.
So he's saying like this. He's saying a shul that they use the shul for mixed dancing. So therefore, the shul doesn't have a din of a shul. Once it doesn't have a din of a shul, it's a regular room which is kavua for aser parties. So therefore, davening in that room doesn't have a din of shul b'tzibur. So what's your question? Oh, let's say it wasn't a shul to begin with. It was only a social hall that was made for mixed parties. So for sure, you shouldn't daven there.
It's a separate room. It's a separate room. It's the basement.
It's different.
He's not saying it's a social hall. He's saying it's worse because it's a mokum sonami. So it's actually worse than stam davening somewhere in a regular room.
That's what I'm saying. But a social hall that's also used for mixed dancing, the same thing, obviously. It's not because it was a shul that was used for that.
It's not as bad as it's not a meiba, but it's just a mokum sonami.
No, a social hall that is used for mixed dancing parties is the same thing as this.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
This is a basic message that was made.
It's worse. But that's not his point. His point is. So according to Ramosha, it doesn't have a din of tefillah b'tzibur to daven there. So he says,
are we clarifying that real estate? If this is the same exact room.
So what is the difference if it's sonny because they tried to make a shul and they ended up not, or if they tried to lechatchila make a party hall? It's the same thing.
His rule is mixed dancing equals mokum sonny, right, regardless of whether it was a shul
Now I don't know what it means. I don't know what it means kavua for mixed dancing. Every single event they do there has mixed dancing.
Same thing.
Yes, it's a regular party hall, a regular
But I think I don't know if we're getting the case right. The shtender is the daven, the amun is there, and the safer torahs are there, and now they take out the tables, and now you're dancing there, or is it that in the side room, like at Turnberry?
No, I don't think so. The side room is the side room, and the other shul is the other room. No, I mean he's talking about any room that's being used for that event.
That's also meant to be a shul.
If the shul is a shul, and then they also own a separate area which is used for that, it's a separate issue. There's another tshuva right here, in this vicinity of Rav Moshe. There's another shaila. If you're allowed to go into a conservative shul to daven in the side room, that there in the side room they had a mechitza for the fanatics. the fanatic Orthodox chevra that won't come into the main sanctuary, whatever they call it. They have a side room for the Orthodox chevra. So you're allowed to daven there. So Moshe says it's chshad, it's maras ayin, and also you're being machzik there for yavera, and basically it's absolutely also to go into there.
Really?
Yeah.
What about to go to a
levaya? Yeah, it's Ramesh's tshuva about that.
What about to go to a
levaya? To go to a non-tefila ceremony there, like a simcha, is a different story. Maybe there.
I'm talking
about a levaya.
Someone says a
hesped.
Recently happened to me.
Okay, I'm getting involved in the whole sugya conservative shuls. We can talk about that at a different time. But didn't I mention that last week about making the chuppah in the conservative shul in Baltimore? Fine. So now, however, Ramosha then says, he makes a caveat here. He says, "Virak kishazman meuchar, who nimtza sham, v'lo yaspik leilach l'mokam acher." Okay, listen, you have no choice. The daven there, but your tefillah will not be miskabel. But soif kasoif, you can't miss mincha. But my your tefillah will not be miskabel when you daven in that place.
It's an unbelievable.
What?
Daven outside.
Yeah. So no, my he's not happy with this. So you're right. If you had a chasana and you had a chasana and you daven and you know. You're davening they rented out this hall that's usually used for who knows what. I don't know.
It was good extending. You can't daven in there.
Is separate from your tefillah.
Of course. Right.
So you should still daven.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
That's what he's telling you. For it.
It's not mincha daven. Forget your
points. Yeah, you still have to daven.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Is it going to be?
It's like you kipper, you can't find your kipper. You still have to daven.
Yeah.
100%.
Okay. Okay. Now, weiter. However, Moshe says very interesting. Now, this is a. So you see from Moshe the Yisoid, that even though we learned last week, you can make a Tanai for Shal Shudis, and you can make a Tanai and all sorts of things. But if you come to the point that you're making the Tanai, and the Tanai oversteps your boundaries, so now, I want to make a Tanai, that it's not going to be a shul, and we're going to do mixed dancing there. So, the whole lumdus. So he said, once you overstep your bounds, you lose the Torah's basic knesses.
It's no longer
a shul. Okay? So, now, the next paragraph, mitchila letfila. He says, what happens if it was a regular shul and it was nikba lechatchila to daven there? And then after a while, they decided, listen, we need some income, supplement, and we'll supplement it for these types of usher parties. So he says, the pshat is, yesh bo k'tushas beis ha-knesses, it has a k'tushas beis ha-knesses, even though they ended up doing bad stuff in there, they can't get rid of the kedusha. So therefore, if I care, it's a shul, but every time they're making a party, they're also making the party. But the party doesn't take away the kedusha. So memela, you have to stop the parties. But if you daven there, you're davening there. Okay.
You can't have parties there.
Not usher parties. Not usher parties. Now, what? I don't know. Not this. So he says, and even if you're doing different things, and you can't, anyway, he says, you can't, you're not allowed to have music in there. Then in the last parties, the last paragraph, he says, V'suda v'simcha shoysen l'bas mitzvah, k'var kasafti b'sifri al arachayim kofto alit, she'im b'ze shum shaykhis l'mitzvah. So a suda is bas mitzvah, it's not a suda is mitzvah, he says. The suda, it's like a birthday party. And memela, you're not allowed to do that in a shul. Ach, im nivne betch, and if it was made l'chatchila to make bas mitzvahs in there, so memela, you're allowed to do the bas mitzvah, but now you don't have a shul.
And this is so, assuming it's only girls dancing, right? You're not mixed dancing anymore, right?
What?
Yeah,
he's not even talking about dancing. Just making that party, not dancing.
Just, he says in the same paragraph. Is this going on dancing us, sir?
So we're on recorded over here.
Let's say there's a shul in the Orthodox shul that does this bas mitzvah stuff, and it's a wonderful thing, right? It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. Just the question is, what type of tanai are you using?
Because don't do it in the shul because that's not a
suitable. I know, but he's saying that.
Or is it not a shul? One way or the other.
Is that either not a shul or it's not a shul?
No, either it's not a shul or it's also to have the party there. But these two things don't fit. Things which are completely sudas mitz, sudas arishos, and their party and their hollos and the kalos roish and dancing and all, you're bringing an instrument. He says you're not allowed to really bring an instrument into there for no reason. So you're doing it, all these things, just, and you're bringing in musicians and all these type of things. For a purpose of a non-sudas mitzvah, that's kalos roish. There's no tanai, even according to Rashi, Ramban, there is no tanai, Shmuel, there is no tanai that would help to allow that. And since no tanai would help to allow that, memela ba'al karchacha, if either you made the tanai to allow that, it's not a shul, or if it is a shul, then you're not allowed to do the party.
Can a father of the bat mitzvah make a
siyam? Maybe, yeah.
Would that help?
Yes. Probably.
What if she wants to make a
stand?
No, that's
what if
she wants to make a
stand?
That would be a problem.
Okay, so that's all the cheaper emotion I can get about now. Okay. Now, the next.
Can you clarify again for the shul and then the
if it's not in that room, if it's just a social hall and the social hall is used for different events, so the social hall has no kedusha, obviously. And not only that, Rav Moshe says you gather 10 people, okay, mincha, and you gather 10 people down there. It's not considered tefillah b'tzibur, basically, because it's a room which is used for te'eva, for usher parties. But the shul upstairs is a shul upstairs. I don't think it's a contradiction. You know,
these huge events, the places are also meant for all students, these guyish, non.
Right, so someone brought it up. I'm not sure.
They bought it just for that time period. I don't know.
Yeah, does that mean like a hotel hall that they have all these crazy things?
You're saying like a hotel, right? You know, it could be that if you're renting it for that time, I don't know. In that time,
you're the ball for that time. It's like a
what?
You're the ball.
I'm not sure what to say about that. I hear the point, but I don't know. You know, because a lot of times you need any sort of event.
You do the Sima Shas.
Right. It's going to be in a big room.
Tent? These huge rooms are rented for other non...
kosher events.
Right.
But... I hear. You know the whole story with the Sima, the first one at Rav Moshe Sher, you know, they were always... The first one in the 80s, they made in one of the stadiums, Madison Square Garden.
Right. It's not like the circus had just been there.
And the circus had just been there, this whole thing, and he had to get, and they originally said no, because that whole week Barnum & Bailey Circus was in Madison Square Garden that whole week. And he said he really wanted it, and there's a whole story. But basically, the name of the story was why did they feed the animals right before the Sima Shas? So basically, the var was that he called Moshe Reichman, and Moshe Reichman happened to have just done a business deal with the owner of Madison Square Garden. And Moshe Reichman said, I'll take care of it. And he called up the guy, and the guy said, okay, we'll only have a morning show. We won't have a night show. And then evening, you could have it. So the Sima Shas was in the evening, but the animals were still in the back. They were going to make noise. They had to feed them right before the Sima Shas, so they didn't make noise during the whole Sima.
That was the type.
The smell, that's what he's saying. Some people noticed the smell.
It definitely smelled. Yeah. It smelled like a circus.
And yeah. What about the issue of the Torah in a place that has a bad smell of...
So obviously it wasn't that bad. You know. Okay, fine. Now, the next tshuva I want to get to, because I want to start the next part of this topic, is unfortunately, back in the, you know, you walk around some of these old, downtown Philadelphia, downtown Washington, D.C., where I grew up, and all these places, you walk around, and very often, unfortunately, you find big, churches that have stained glass windows with Magen David's on it and all sorts of things, that they were former shuls, and when the communities shifted or whatever happened, you know, they ended up selling the shuls as churches. So unfortunately, so the shaila is, what's the status of such a thing? How does that work? Are you allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. You know, so the shaila was to somebody who apparently was an Erlich Hayid. And he was on the board, or even if he wasn't on the board, but he was an active member, or he was even, you know, in a shul that was planning on selling their shul to a church. So the question he asked was, how much does he have to fight the other membership in order to have them not sell it? Okay? That was a Shiloh's in Tavshin Chafalef. What?
Other shurim is that, do they have someone else to daven? from back in from.
Right. Okay. So basically, what Ramay? Okay. So Ramay says, using the setup that we had in the last sugya, basically Ramay goes along the lines and says like this: the Shulchan Aruch paskins that remember we said that you're not allowed to sell a shul for arba dvarim. For things which are bizarre, right? For a wash house, a place that borsiki, which is a leather tannery. Now let's sell a shul for those things.
Even if it's empty, even if it's empty.
You know, let's sell a shul for those things. That's what the Mishnah says. But the are rishonim that hold that you are allowed to sell it for those things if you made a tanai. So if you made a tanai originally, you're allowed to. How did the Shulchan Aruch paskin that?
And what is
so
originally? Originally, when it was built, or
when it was built,
when it was purchased.
What's the difference?
About 100 years
somebody
ago.
Buys it from a. Somebody buys.
It means when it became a shul. Whenever it became a shul. So he says, over here, here, page 28. So it says, Kishemaychem Anche, Kishemaychem test on the top, test. So Kufin and Gimel test, Kishemaychem Anche Akfar, Beis Akneses, Yecholim Lemoychem Memka Oilam, you're allowed to sell it. Valokech Yaseba Mashiyirtze, whoever buys the shul can do whatever as they please. Chutz, except for Arba things, which are Merachatz Borski, Beis Atzvila, Beis Akisei, because those things are a bizoyin. V'imachru, Zayin, Tuve, Ayir, B'mayim, and Anche, Ayir, if the whole membership and the directors agree, then Yase, Lokech, Afil, Eil, Arba, Dvarim, then the buyer is allowed to do even those things of a bizoyin. However,
the Mishnah agrees with like that's
the Mishnah. However, the Bir Halacha, and this, if you look at the Bir Halacha and this whole long Bir Halacha, B'machru, the long Bir Halacha there, he basically says it's not a good idea to do that. Okay?
Or just keep it empty, just let it rest.
Yeah, don't do that. Okay, or wait till you find a buyer to do something else. So Mamela, it's not clear. So Ramosha says like this, he says two reasons to be Machmer. Number one is that, first of all, he says you need to have that it's every single member agrees. It has to be unanimous.
Completely.
Because otherwise you don't have the Zayin Tuvei Ayir B'mayim and Anshei Ha'ir. You don't have this level. And you can't go by Roif.
So what is enough to say?
You can't go by Roif, number one. So you have to know, does the entire membership and the entire Tuvei Ayir agree? Okay. Even if so, it's still not clear. Because maybe you have the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha says not to rely on this Halacha of the Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to use that Anshei Tuvei Ayir to sell it for one of these things of Bizayin. And then he says another Svara here, that it's possible that one could argue that this is worse than one of those things of Bizayin.
Like
what?
It's worse than that.
This is a lot worse because this is mamish like selling it to Avodah Zarah.
Right.
That's what he says over here. If you turn the page, he says it's much worse. Yerushalayim at Gimel, yeah. And then, you know, in the middle of the first paragraph, towards the end, the last word on the line of the first paragraph on the right, says, Ula tifla to sell to a church. It's even worse. So everyone would agree that maybe that's awesome.
Why does it say Efshar Lekulam?
Because even if you hold, you could use it to sell it for a bathhouse, which is a bizayon, but still, a church could be worse than that. So he says, you don't have a Raya in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter. Because just...
But we can't just say, you wouldn't say the other way, the Vadai?
No, he says it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, it's also, I don't know, because you keep Makriya. He says, Aval, the next paragraph is, Masha Shoyal, Kvoy Terasa, Im Chuyiv Lihi Lachem, Ima Members, Bedrachim Koshim, Velistar Mechir Latifla, should I really fight? How strong do I have to fight? If they're selling it really with the entire agreement, listen. The Shulchan Aruch says it's okay. Even though I said a svara afsha efsha shalatifla yaasikam lidu, maybe a church is worse. I don't know for sure it's worse. After it's not worse. So Mimele says, Lachain underlined, afsha vade tzarech loimar lahem shaasir. You have to tell them it's aser. Kivin shu sveka didina, since I'm not sure. So therefore, and therefore, Afkishu Yachi Gamlev Hulu. So he said, basically, I'm not going to tell you have to make a major, major, huge fuss about it and fight about it because, first of all, they're not going to listen to you. And second of all, there is an opinion perhaps they have who to rely on. But if it's not designed to, if it's not designed to be Yair, that's what he says later. But he says if it's designed to be Yair, it was designed to be Yair. If you look at the last paragraph on the left side, Lachin Kishaloy Haya Heskim Kol Azayin to be Yair. Af Biskimu Kulam Loy Haya Bemayim Anachay Yesh Lekvat Tirasoi Lasis Kol Mashu Biyodel Vata Lamechira. Yeah. If they don't have full agreement of everybody, then you should do whatever you can to make sure it doesn't happen.
If this guy was part of the, he would.
He could be the one to make the machal.
So I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. Right. He, I guess. He could be the one. I guess. Yeah, but then I can listen to
a
you.
Lot
so.
Of these situations, they won't listen. So wasn't he also asking what to do once it's done?
He says, "Avol in yodea bebir shelo yeilu dvar of umaisav einu mechuyev yochol lismach al daiter shelo yeilu vein loylocho shem atoya kim nusin darabon am minutu shu shaygigin." He says that if you know you're not going to be able to do it, don't feel guilty the rest of your life. You shouldn't feel guilty the rest of your life. Oh, like I should have done something.
Rarely these issues come up as a singular thing. They're usually they're like they want to sell the shul in order they can buy another one.
Yeah, could be because you can't sell it for avoid
a zone. Downtown Toronto is full of them because the whole Frum community, when Rabbi Kamenevsky was there, was all downtown. Now, Chinatown.
Right.
The buildings are empty.
Yeah, it's always like that. The Jews moved into the big cities and then they kept on moving into the suburbs. That's just what kept on happening. Every city is like that. What? No, you could sell it. You sell not to a church. You sell it. And then you use the money immediately, or you even have to be in contract. Maybe we learned last week from Machalik Smogan from Taz. You have to be in contract and then use the money that you sold immediately. You know, put it into the new building. But
sometimes I write from Jews involved. They're just selling it to whoever will buy it. So that's why
right. Now, Ramosha says, what about if I sell it to a Sarser? A Sarser is a middleman. And most likely, he'll do it, you know, he'll do whatever he wants. Bottom line is, who's buying this except for a church? So he says, that's also a Sarser. And if the middleman is Jewish, it's a Neiva.
Nowadays, what if the possibility is not a church, but it's a mosque? Is it less of a design?
Probably not. So I don't think it's an issue of Avodah Zarah. It's not an issue of Avodah Zarah. It's not an issue of Avodah Zarah. I don't think it's an issue of Avodah Zarah. He doesn't say that. It's a Gnai Gadol, as he says.
Does it have the same status as a shul?
Probably, if not more. If not more. Yeah. Okay, now.
What about an elementary school?
I don't know if the school is. I'm not sure. Maybe just the room. I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. Okay, so that pretty much, I think, you know, wraps up some of these inyan. I wanna make a haskalah.
What about purchasing a church is selling its facility for the shul buy.
That's a different topic. If you can buy a church to use it for a shul, the opposite way.
Yeah.
So what would be the problem? The problem has nothing to do with the Kedusha. The problem is the other way, is that maybe you're giving money to the church and now they're going to use it for something else. That's a different topic. If you're allowed to use, you know, support a shul and support a church and all that.
If it's not near the Chag, like during the year.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a different topic. We had a Gevaldik Maisa. I told you this Maisa was Gevaldik Maisa, that there was a person who owned a property on the edge of the neighborhood. And he was holding the property for a long time. They were asking $600,000, and they weren't getting it. And eventually, you know, they're holding on to it a year, and then all of a sudden they get an offer from a church that they want to buy it. And it's on the edge of a Jewish neighborhood. We don't get into details, but it was on like the edge, the outskirts, but on the edge, bordering the Jewish neighborhood. So he says, sell it to a church. They offered to buy it. Nah, I'll wait. I've been waiting a year, 9 months, whatever. I'll keep waiting. Then they call back, 700, 800, 900. All of a sudden, they're at one point, double the asking price, 1.2 million. So he's like, all right, now it's at least worth asking a shayla. So he asked me the shayla. So I said, no, we're gonna have to go to a dayan for this one. So we called the dayan. The dayan says, gotta go to Adam Galdo for this one. So fine.
A lot of money.
So now we called up Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. Reb Shmuel, and he says, am I allowed Am I allowed to sell it to the church? She says, you have to ask an Adam Galdo for that one. So we call up his son. We called up Rav Shalom, and we said, "Who's he kidding? What does he think? You know, like we just opened up to K in the phone book." I'm saying that we're asking him. What does he mean to say? He says, "What did you ask him?" He says, "We asked him, are we allowed to sell? Is he allowed to sell to the church?" He says, "It's a bad question, because pshat is that pshat. What my father said was is that he didn't want to answer your question because you're asking if he's an usher permitted. It's not usher." But, so he didn't want to say, it's also, it's not also. But he didn't want to tell you it's mutter because he holds that you shouldn't do it. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing to do.
Right.
So Mamela, he didn't want to say mutter because he doesn't think you should do it. But he doesn't want to say it's also because it's not also.
Right.
Call back and just change the language of your question and say, should I? Not can I? Not is it permitted? It's asking, should I? So call back. Should I sell it to the church? He says, absolutely not. It's for sure you shouldn't sell.
Now he was clear.
That was a nice one.
And he didn't do it, right?
He did not do it.
He wouldn't volunteer until he asked him.
Wow, that's
a big meiser.
Yeah.
You know, you see, like sometimes you hear these steers in the talking of the stories, like, Doylan, how come he told me this and told you that? Because he's paying more attention to what you asked than you did.
Yeah.
They're listening to your words
exactly
when you're asking more than what you yourself asked. So when you said this, you said a knach there that you didn't know made a difference, even in your shayla. Right, and they answer your question like this, and then the answer is that question like that. And meanwhile, those two different questions.
What happened to the property in the end?
What?
What happened to the property?
And if I haven't followed up.
It's
up to $5 million, and the mice went to the cut. No, I don't know. Okay, I want to go on to it's not really new because the sources of it are all right here. It's still in the same booklet, and the sources of it are in the Gemara Megillah, and then it's the next Simen Shulchan Aruch, which I think I printed here, Kuf Mem Daled. So it's in the same booklet, but it's not quite the Inyan of the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. But now going further along, which will end up, you know, we'll get further along in this. But then the question also about what to do with certain furnishings and stuff like that of a shul. What's the level of the kedusha of the bima, of the arayin, of the mappa, the cover? You know, you got to get rid of it. You got a new one. What do you do with the old one? You know, the plastic. You want to replace it. So we had a story here with the plastic ripped. So someone was nice enough to go buy a new plastic. So he took the plastic home and he got a new plastic. In the meanwhile, he's like, what should I do with the old one? It's sitting in my house and I have to look into it.
Yeah.
2 months later, the wife calls me up. She's like, Rabbi, you said you're going to look into it. This thing's in my house for 2 months. Can you tell me what to do already?
Yeah.
So like, you know, what these things, when you upgrade, you know, what do you do with the old Ner Tamid? All these things, or the old Bima, Okay, so that's the question. What do you do with these? And not only what you do with it when you're done, but what's the chiyuv of the hanhaga with it? You know, there was different minhagim in the old days. They would take, you know, one of the things that the Shulchan Aruch, for example, says, you're not allowed to do, says that they used to take the Keser Torah, and they would put it on the head of the Chasen Torah and Simchas Torah. So he says that's okay because that's also Kavod HaTorah. That's also Kavod HaTorah. You just missed that one. They took the Keser Torah in the shul. The minute the Shulchan Aruch brings down, there was a minute they took the Keser Torah and they would put it on the head of the Chasen Torah. And that would be like he's wearing a crown. So you're allowed to do that. So he says that you're allowed to do because that's also Kavod HaTorah. Why is this guy Chashuv? Because he finished the Torah. So it's also then they took the Keser Torah and they put it on Stam HaChasen by his wedding.
That's awesome.
Because he's being married to Kedusha. The Kedusha is for Sefer Torah and Kavod of the Torah. Now, you say, what Kedusha does it have? So what gave the Keser Torah Kedusha? What gave it to us? It's here to beautify the Sefer Torah. So yeah. It's there to beautify the Sefer Torah. It has a level of Tashmish and Kedusha. So we'll go through a little bit those halachas. For example, a halacha that comes up is the Meshubur brings down in Simen Kuf Mem, in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, a very interesting halacha. He says that if you're getting an aliyah, you cannot lean on the bima. Why? Because the bima is made to hold the Sefer Torah, and therefore it can't hold you. And therefore, if you're holding, that's a steer up to the kedusha of the bima, because it's not meant to hold the people. It's meant to hold the sefer Torah.
Can it hold your sitter?
So now you're telling me what's that? Does that apply nowadays? So now you go in there now, and there's hats and jackets and all sorts of stuff on there, right? So those type of issues will come up. So that we'll do that, and we'll do a little bit eventually what to do with tzitzis that apostle and you know all these things, Sheamus and all that stuff. So we'll get into that. Slowly but surely. Okay, I'll take it like 2-3 weeks for that. Okay? Shkoyach.